Welcome to the Marshall Pruitt Podcast. We are back for another week in IndyCar news. Like last week, we are cheating a little bit. It is Wednesday night with Robin Miller and myself are hopping on planes tomorrow to head to St. Petersburg for the season opener. My voice is cracking there. You can hear I'm so excited. Either that
You're emotional, aren't you?
Or I'm going through puberty at 46, one of the two. Nonetheless, Robin, not the busiest week in news because we're about to get down to racing, but there has been a little bit to talk about. And then we're going to get some of your thoughts on the champion and some of the other predictions you might make about the season ahead. I know that today, interesting to see that there is a new alliance between Andretti Autosport and Disney with a new cartoon show, Mickey and the Roadster Gang or something along those lines. As an avid watcher of cartoons, Robin, and children's programming, I'm sure that that one is certainly something that perked your ears.
Well, hopefully it's going to take the place of H.H. Gregg because they just closed 88 stores and laid 1,500 people off. I can't imagine how they could continue to sponsor an IndyCar. I mean, I don't know that for a fact. I don't know how much money it was to start with. So any money they can take in is going to be accepted, but it'll just be interesting to see if H.H. Gregg's on the car down here, because if you're one of the 1,500 people getting laid off at H.H. Gregg, you're not going to be very happy if they're spending money to sponsor an IndyCar.
Yeah, H.H. Gregg, which was announced as a sponsor for Marco Andretti's car. We saw that Marco was sponsored by Snapple in recent years, so there was a change in primary sponsor from 2016 to 2017, and there might be a change in sponsor before we even start 2017, but again, can't speak about that for sure quite yet. I know, Robin, you were chasing the H.H. Gregg item back in February at Phoenix, so I know that's something that you will definitely be pursuing once we get to St. Pete to see where that stands, because I don't think anybody wants to see an IndyCar, much less Marco Andretti, without a title sponsor for the year.
They put out a statement that said a couple weeks ago that we're going forward and everything, you know, made it sound like everything's fine, but that was before they, Chapter 11, they filed for bankruptcy yesterday, and I just can't imagine how they can sponsor an IndyCar. So hopefully this Disney thing will be big bucks, or eventually lead to big bucks.
A couple things that we have written about this week, which certainly piqued a lot of interest and had folks asking a lot of follow-up questions about. One was the interest by a certain auto manufacturer and potentially becoming IndyCar's third engine supplier. And then we also have written about Mark Miles, who said aero kits, definitely an area where both manufacturers could save $10 million or more per year and possibly reinvest some of those dollars in advertising or whatever other IndyCar-related things, provided both brands wanted to keep spending that amount of money. What do you think, Robin? I mean, we've been hearing for years now from both Chevy and Honda that we love being an IndyCar. We don't want to go away. We certainly don't want to be spending ourselves into oblivion just to be here, though. I think getting rid of aero kits will help ease tensions there, but do you think either one would be inclined to keep spending some of those aero kit savings on more IndyCar marketing and promotions, or do you think they would say, you know what, we're just going to keep that in the bank and be smart?
I'd just like to see Chevrolet step up and spend some money, period, on advertising and marketing. I mean, obviously they're the title sponsor of Detroit, but I wish they had a Chevrolet commercial with the Chevrolet drivers, or at least the champion, and that's the one thing that I wish there would be more of, because Honda certainly, you know, besides being title sponsor for 5-6 races and taking out advertising with newspapers and magazines and having a Honda commercial, I think Ryan Hunter-Reay was in it probably a couple years ago. That's what IndyCar needs. They got to have exposure, and those are the two people who can do it. And if you could spend, you know, if they're saving $10 million apiece, and they could take $1.5 million or $2 million and buy it, or less than that, make a national ad, that'd be awesome. That's, people don't know who our drivers are, and that's the only way they're ever going to find out. And if big manufacturers like Honda and Chevy can drive it, it's not going to happen overnight. But it's exactly what they need. So here's my question back to you: What will it cost? Will it cost the teams? Everybody will spend the same amount of money on the aero kit, Marshall.
Yeah, I mean the what's coming in 2018 is going to be just the modern version of what came with the Dallara DW12 back in late 2011 and throughout 2012. Meaning it's one kit, it's spec, it's not going to cost a lot. Everybody uses it, so even though the shape of the car is going to change and it's going to look radically different, the concept and cost behind it is not going to be a big dollar amount. The thing that we shouldn't overlook, though, is especially coming into the first couple of years with the spec Dallara bodywork, both Chevy and Honda spent a ton of money in the wind tunnel to try and learn everything they could about it. It wasn't theirs. They didn't design it. But again, they wanted and needed to learn about it. Teams did the same thing. Definitely that's been ramped up to a crazy amount and a really silly amount of money. It's been spent since AeroKits came online in 2015. But it does mean that when we get back to this new, different, radical and kind of old school, you know, retro modern IndyCar look for 2018, well, the discovery process starts over again. Chevy and Honda, even though it's not theirs, are going to spend a lot of money on wind tunnel and CFD and you name it. Teams are going to do the same. So we're going to go through this cycle yet again, just as they did when the car came out in 2012. But you know, they shouldn't be spending nearly as much to learn about it, though. And I would say there would also be a bit of a finite window for those expenditures. Going to spend hard in 2018, definitely more in 2019. And they'll always spend money. They're always going to go to the wind tunnel. But it's not going to be this sustained insanity that we've seen with AeroKits. One of the other things, Robin, which I found interesting, we didn't write about so much, but it was one of the knock-on things in Mark Miles' discussion about bringing a third engine manufacturer in. His hope is that if they can get a third, and of course they'd love a fourth and a fifth, but if they can get a third, they can go from Chevy and Honda essentially splitting the field. Know that this year Honda certainly has more of the field than Chevy, but if they could get it to a place where each manufacturer has 6, 7, 8 cars, reduces the financial burden on Chevy and Honda, because now they don't have to cover as many engine leases. The overall costs of their expenditure would come down by bringing in a third and lessening that burden. But the other thing too, which in theory would be really cool, provided that third manufacturer gets on board, is spending. Just what we spoke about, more advertising. So instead of Chevy and Honda doing whatever level of promotions that they do for the series, have a third brand in there helping that. So it's just something where if you look at IndyCar, you look at the amount of money that they have to invest on an annual basis to tell the world about their series, get people interested, and so on, it really does help when you have big Fortune 100 companies, you know, Fortune 50 companies, monsters with big advertising budgets and big reach that can help tell their story as well. So I know you saw that, and we both saw that in CART, where, good Lord, just from Miller Beer to Mercedes-Benz, everybody was preaching about the series on TV, in print, at restaurants, on the radio, buying tickets, giving out tickets. Very much a communal effort to elevate CART to become the biggest, baddest open-wheel series we've ever seen.
Yeah, and I think that's the thing that we miss so much now, is you miss Marlboro buying 10 or 15, 20,000 tickets for a race, and Honda and Toyota and even Mercedes. So that all that helps, plus the money they can spend, plus the money that a manufacturer would help. You know, certain teams are going to get money from manufacturers and maybe engine deals. I mean, all that stuff, there's nothing negative about it. And you just got to think there's got to be one person out there. There's got to be one manufacturer that's going to step up. But we've been saying that for a long time, so I don't know.
All right. So each week, friends, we Robin and I are going to try and drop some little nugget into our week in IndyCar news that we haven't written about. I don't want to, some of you know the absolute hatred that I have for some who cannot wait to do all caps, hashtag breaking exclusive scoop on any little thing they learn. But we're going to try and share a little nugget that, again, maybe you get here first. Robin, I found out today through my continual efforts to dig through court papers and filings and whatnot that the request that I wrote about that had been filed by former IndyCar entrant Paul Genelozzi and his company to filed a motion asking the courts in Michigan to essentially stop all the seizure efforts that were going on with Ryan Hunter Ray's Ryan Racing Company, the one that was awarded millions of dollars here recently. Genelozzi's lawyer, I should say, they filed a motion asking courts to stop all the collection efforts and to put up a bond for the amount that was assigned to them as a debt to Ryan Racing, so that they could pursue overturning the verdict, having another trial. Essentially a motion that said, all right, let's hit the pause button and trust us. Here's, you know, trust us that we're going to handle this, whether it comes out in our favor or not. So here we're going to put up a bond. And at least for what I saw today, the answer came back as no. So doesn't mean that everything stops and there's no legal recourse left for Genelozzi and his companies to stop the collection efforts by Ryan Racing. But at least this first step, this first effort to hit the pause button, based on the one document I saw today, judge came back and said no. So not a positive thing for anybody. I mean, it's not as if lawsuits really are a wonderful thing for racing and not something that we take particular joy in writing about, but that's something that came down the pipeline a little bit later today that didn't seem like it was worthy of a story, but thought it might be interesting. So if I'm wrong.
No, that is. And plus, you know, if everybody that had sent you or me an email or a text message or whatever they sent us about this, if they all put in $10 towards Ryan Hunter Ray's cause, he'd have $1 million already. Because Genelozzi's not very well liked, as we know. So he gets no sympathy from 99% of the people in racing.
And on that wonderful...
That's not libelous. That's just a fact.
And on that wonderful positive note, and noting that this is a relatively short week, not a ton of news, probably skipped over a couple things we might have spoken about, but we're going to pivot here and finish up with predictions. You might have heard the podcast that I did with The Thrill from West Hill, Paul Tracy, with him giving his predictions. Little inside secret. It was supposed to be Robin and Paul and myself, but Robin was busy at the time, and we tried to do it, but we couldn't hear. So we actually, Robin said, hey, cut me loose, finish this up with PT, and then we'll do some fun during our weekend news. So you get the weekend IndyCar news, and you get Robin Miller's, and I might throw in a few if you ask me, but we get Robin Miller's predictions for the year. So knowing that you are a self-described degenerate gambler, who is Robin Miller betting his money on to win the 2017 Verizon IndyCar Series Championship, and why?
Going to be pretty simple. Willpower wins the championship. Pagenaud second. Newgarden's third. Castroneves is fourth. They win 13 out of 17 races. They win 15 poles. And going into Sonoma, IndyCar in desperation makes it a quadruple points race. That's right. You can win 400 points if you win the last race at Sonoma. And that'll put you only a couple hundred points behind Willpower. Think about what he did last year, that stretch he had where he's either first or second, six or seven races in a row, missed the first race after his he became ill, and I just think, you know, some people are saying, well, he's got a kid now, that's going to slow him down. No, didn't slow Montoya down. Ain't going to slow Willpower down. And Chevy's still got an advantage, and Willpower and Pagenaud both are five times better on ovals than they used to be, and Joseph Newgarden's better than both of them on an oval, probably, or at least in certain places he is. So, and Castroneves will be a factor, and one of them will probably win the Indy 500. And
even with Honda's advantage last year, you think Chevy's going to step up there too?
In our little thing, I said that Ryan Hunter Ray was going to win two races, both ovals. So I should probably backtrack and say it'll probably be in one of them will be Indy. Him or Graham, they got Hondas. They got a chance to win Indy, and or Kanaan or Dixon. So those are the four guys that'll probably be in contention at Indy. And I don't know. It just Chevrolet, if you look at last year's race, what was it going to come down to? It was going to come down to Newgarden,
yep.
Kanaan, Munoz. So it's two Chevys and a Honda. And was there another Honda in there? Was anybody else lurking?
I haven't gotten a lot of sleep. Chevy was looking pretty darn stout. How's this? There were more disappointed Honda folks that didn't win than Chevy teams. I mean, Dixon, obviously. You know, Dixon was also running somewhat strong there for a little bit. But I don't know if Chevy will have the ability to overtake Honda, but I do know that it should be one of the few races. Indy should be one of the few races on the calendar where we see genuine competition. We don't know who is going to win between both brands. We can't say that
right
at most places.
It's just that you heard it all the time. Well, Honda's, you know, they had a big advantage at Indy last year, and they're going to have the same this year. Well, then you look at the way the race was coming down. It wasn't like they had that big an advantage, because it was going to be a dogfight between two Chevys and a Honda.
So we've spoken about who you think is going to win the championship. Obviously, I guess you're more than prepared to get the stink eye from our French friend, Mr. Pagenaud, for not picking him.
I picked 2 years in a row. He's had his... That's it. You can't go 3 years in a row. Sorry, buddy.
I'm in agreement. I think power is going to be an absolute beast to deal with. And I have to admit, I think a wonderful scenario would be where they almost trade championships year on and year off going forward. So that would be pretty cool.
Who's PT picking, Marshall?
William Jehoshaphat Power from Toowoomba, Australia. So
he picked him too, huh?
Yeah, okay. So all three of us are hated by a Frenchman. Well, we wouldn't want to say just one Frenchman. I mean, there's always Seb in the field. If Robin Miller is picking Will Power to be P1 in the championship, knowing that there are 21 full-timers, I'm going to go ahead and ask the really unfriendly question. Who's P21? Who do you think comes out at the bottom of the heap this year?
Probably Ed Jones, because he's a rookie. He's the only rookie in the field. And that's just because got nothing to do with his ability. He's just going to have to learn the car and learn his competition. And it's, you know, Dale Coyne's made leaps and bounds. There's no doubt about it. That team is capable of winning races. But I think it's going to be tough for a rookie. It's always tough for a rookie, but it'll be tough for Ed.
Well, I don't disagree, but I do know that watching him and Carlin teammate Max Chilton together in Indy Lights on their American debut in 2015, that Max struggled to deal with Ed. So again, I know Ed is an IndyCar rookie, but I'm not entirely confident that our boy, Mr. Jones, won't finish ahead of him in the championship. But you know, we will certainly find out. What about surprises? Who, when we look back at the 2017 championship, look at the final standings, doesn't have to be the person who's second or third, but just in general, are there any drivers that stand out where you think you might look at the overall standings and go, wow, they finished higher than I thought they might have?
I think Brian Herr is going to be the best thing ever happened to Marco Andretti. Getting him and his dad are not going to be he drives for his dad, but he's not going to be in the scoring stand with him, and he's going to get a clean break. And Hurt has just got that positive attitude, but he can also be pretty realistic with Marco, and I just think he'll do a good job. And I don't know that Marco will win a race, but I think he's obviously going to run better than he did last year. That probably goes without saying, but I think that'll be a big step. It'll be interesting to see. To me, I think one of the great stories is going to be, will Ray Hall still be on top of all the Hondas at the end of the year like he's been the last 2 years, or will Ganassi take it away from him? And well, our buddy Tony Kanaan, he's pretty convinced this might be his last year. Will he win a race this year? And you know, he almost won Elkhart Lake last year and was fast at Indy, another place he could have won. So different. And, you know, look at Casper Neves. I mean, he's probably drove as well last year as he's driven the last two or three years. He should have won Detroit, but the captain made a bad call there. But I mean, he's right in the hunt. So, you know, we would be talking about, okay, who's going to take these two guys' place in 2018, but, you know, they might be around. We don't know.
Let's talk about, let's start to wrap up here on additional movers. Within the eight teams in the series, which one do you think is going to be the biggest mover in the paddock year to year? Coming out of 16, finishing 2017, which team do you think is going to move farthest up the depth chart?
I would say Smith Peterson, just because of the Mad Russian and Hinch. I think they're going to have a better year and do better.
Not Coyne with Bourdais coming in and all the badassery there. Interesting. What about the opposite direction? Are there any teams you think are going to take a couple steps back on the depth chart?
Look, nobody likes J.R. Hillebrand more than you do, and I mean, we're happy the guy's got a ride, but the most important thing is, will Ed and Spencer Pigot and J.R. Hillebrand be able to match the muscle that Joseph Newgarden gave in the last 2 years? I don't know. I think that's going to be another big story. Will they, you know, can they win a race? And, you know, will JR become, I mean, he was a badass road racer all the way up to IndyCar. And then he became better on ovals than road course racing. But was that because he was with Panther and they could make anybody look pretty average on a road course? I don't know. That's another interesting part of the season for me, to see how JR responds.
All right. So we have covered champion. We've covered Indy 500 winner. We've covered the bottom of the driver standings. Is there anybody you think, last question, anybody you think that isn't going to go anywhere different, meaning wherever they finished last year, for the most part, they're probably just going to be stuck in that same place, and we might not even know they were at half of the events.
Probably Takuma Sato, I would imagine. He'll be fast a few places, and he'll crash a few places, and bless his heart, that's just pretty much what he usually does.
And then I can look forward to more emails from the guy who carries his helmet for him.
Well,
so,
yeah.
That should be fun.
You know, you're not very good at making friends. I'm going to have to work with you.
Yeah, that's true. Everybody says Miller's the one with charm and love. Well, you got an early flight.
Have a safe flight. We'll see you Friday morning.
Thanks, brother.